This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Off hour number two of the program is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. I mean, anything a bank can do, they got you covered. Great rates, even better customer service. It's impeccable. And they always take great care of you at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Longtime sponsor of the program is the official credit union of 3 and Out. Davey asks, what is the Tennessee offense need to do? Like, how do you move the ball against Florida defense? Heupel said at his Monday press conference yesterday, obviously, they are a top five rush offense in the country. And then he said defensively, I think they're physical and tied in at all three levels. Defensive line is very disruptive. Special teams do a really good job as well, so they make you beat them. And from watching the game the other day, they had an opportunity to tie it up there at the end. It's a really good football team, and our guys are excited about the challenge. He talked about Florida's front seven, said they're big, long, and athletic. They're violent, disrupt the line of scrimmage. Structurally, their second and third levels fit in very well. They have tackled well for the most part. You do those things, and it's tough to run the football. I don't think Tennessee's going to be able to run the football, really, at all. I think Houston, you kind of hit the nail on the head. You've got to get the ball outside quickly and then get north and south. Like, even I watched the Penn State-Auburn game, and Penn State tried to run the ball laterally some against Auburn, and at least from some of the plays I remember, there were plays where it just didn't work. And we've seen that for years in the SEC. Like, there's ways to do it. Everybody now in college football is trying to spread the field. Doesn't matter if it's a spread or run team. Everyone's trying to use the entire width of the field because that's really the only way to move the ball with big chunk plays, is to spread everybody out and get a guy into a lot of space. And then, you know, then you make one guy miss and you've got some room to – But trying to run the ball laterally, like starting from the box, is really tough against SEC defenses that have a lot of speed, especially on the defensive line and linebackers, and the safeties that can fly up. I mean,
and we don't have a difference maker at running back. We've got a couple of pretty solid guys, but you don't have a.
And it's not like we're bringing. I mean, Velus Jones might have some speed, but it's not like we've shown a propensity to really like. Bring guys in motion and like it's not like the jet sweep's a huge part of the offense, I guess.
They ran the pop pass against Tennessee Tech to Peyton for about 9 yards. I'm surprised we haven't seen that a little bit more.
It's not like the Auburn offense under Malzahn, though, where it's like inverted veer every other play.
Right,
you know, it's not like a staple part of the – I think the quick game – I think you hit the nail on the head, actually. I think the quick game is where you have to try and get some just cheap, easy yards. The challenge is the quarterback's got to make the right reads pre-snap, and they've got to be able to get the ball there quickly to those guys so that they – because – and the receivers have got to make the block. How many times do you see these teams trying to run a quick game and a receiver misses a block, and all of a sudden the receiver catching the football is just getting his knees destroyed because the corner, like – the other receiver whiffs, guy's flying in.
That or a DB takes a chance and steps in front of one.
Well, that's – yeah, I mean, that's even worse. Or we've thrown that pass backwards a few times and it's been dropped. And that's a problem. But you got to read those, take those frees when you get them. And then you know what Heupel likes to do? He wants to hit that once, and then he wants to pump it and push it down the field to the blocker who's released.
Yeah, I mean,
or at the tight end, you know, with some more like kind of that slot look where the tight end like starts to angle like he's going to block, and then he's right down the seam.
Yeah, and, you know, we're using the tight ends a little bit more. But, yeah, I think middle of the field and quick game, especially if they do what I think they're going to do, which is what Grantham loves to do, which is, you know, play bump and run, press man, and blitz a lot. You know, protection is going to be key, especially if you try to set up one of those double moves on the outside where you pump the bubble screen and then the guys who are chopping to block take off down the field. If you can protect and give quarterback a little bit of time, yeah, maybe you can hit a couple of those shots throughout the game. Definitely need to hit a couple early to get Grantham out of his, you know, blitz-happy routine. Running the football is going to be interesting. You can't abandon it, right? Like, I don't think we can win this game if we go in and try to throw it around 75 times. So I think if it's me and I'm thinking, how can I run against this team? I think you go back and watch the tape on, I know it's Bowling Green, but you ran right at them, right? You ran A gap, B gap, or just, you know, you got to kind of keep it tight, run right at them and hope that those guys either fly out of position and you can squeeze by them and hope, you know, maybe one side of the offensive line can block whoever they're matched up against. I think running wide is going to be a very, very bad idea just because of their team speed on defense. This is going to be a game I'm going to be very interested to watch the tight end as far as, obviously, they like to line up an H-back, but you can do a lot of misdirection with that H-back and show some different looks to confuse the linebackers. You get the linebackers running one way, and then it's counter to the other. The tight end puts his foot in the ground, turns around. He's a lead blocker now. I think the base stuff's going to have to be timely, but you're going to have to try to confuse Florida's linebackers with your pre-snap motion and with what guys are doing right after the snap. And then play action-wise, I think you're going to see them do what they were working this a little bit against Tennessee Tech, where they're running it's run formation offensive line. Like, they're pulling a guard in pass protection to make it look completely like run. Oh, we're pulling the guard, fake the handoff. Guard is now in pass protection on the right side of the line because he pulled from the left. Tight end fills to the left. Hopefully the linebackers have come up, and maybe now you've opened up the field. I don't think this is one of Florida's best secondaries ever. Obviously, it's Florida, though. They're still going to be super talented. You know, it's 4- and 5-star guys with elite speed. But I like this group of receivers as far as their ability to get open. The question is, can they catch the ball, which has been a little bit of a problem through three games? And obviously, you got to put a pass on them in a position where they can catch it. And we haven't done a very good job of that through three games.
Yeah, in the run game, I mean, if you can run some inside zone and just have the offensive line, just take the Florida linemen wherever they want to go. When they get off the ball, whatever way they go, just keep pushing them that direction. Maybe you can open up some holes and tell those backs to just stay north and south. Like, just
if it's blocked for 4, get the 4.
Yeah, that's fine. Stay, you know, put the offense in a position where you can convert some third downs. Keep the chains moving.
Any word yesterday on Jabari Small from Heupel?
Not that I've seen.
I'll dig for that.
All right, let's go to the G3 Got Me Hotline. We've got Philly on the horn. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philip.
Positive Tuesday.
Optimism Tuesday.
In Florida.
That's right.
Right, yeah, it's a challenge, you know. But
I guess
up,
the positive would be Davey will be on after the game, won't he?
Correct.
Well, yeah. That makes it more exciting because I could tell a void last week with Davey not on there.
Hmm.
Well, thank you, Philly. I was protesting the FCS games.
Guys, Florida's gonna put 8 in the box and dare us to pass, and we can't run the football against. We struggle to run against inferior teams, much less run on Florida.
Feels like the offensive line really hasn't been good since Cooper Mays hurt his ankle.
Yeah, he needs to be back this week if we're gonna have any kind of shot to block.
They looked about the way I thought they should look against Bowling Green at the start of the game when he was in the game. And then ever since he went down, it's just they might look good for a play here or there, and then they look really bad. And then they look okay, and then really bad. I can't imagine what they're going to look like against a real SEC team.
So we've lost 16 out of 17 to Florida.
Yeah. Something like
15 out of 16.
Yeah, 15 out of 16.
Yep.
And then you could get to 15 out of 17 if you want to include 2004, or we've lost 15 out of 18 if you want to even go back to 2003. So it helps juke the numbers there, but then, yeah.
Yeah, and you talk about I've only seen Tennessee boat rolling three times in my lifetime. It was 1970 and 1990, Dale Carter kicked, returned second half, and then the 1992 rain game. That's the only time we ever waxed them. Usually it's close games, and, you know, we're fortunate to win. And we implode, and they beat us. That's usually what happens in these ball games.
We do have a nice, rich history of imploding against Florida, more so than just about anybody else.
Yeah, and we got to play Florida and Alabama and Georgia every year. That's real fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. So fun.
Are they going to? They're going to put Alabama and Auburn in the Eastern Division once the SEC's
Hell, why not?
That's a good question.
Why not?
At least Florida and Georgia would have to play them at that point, yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
One positive about it.
Yeah, everyone got on to me. What was that, the first time in 10 years that Florida hosted Alabama?
Something
you know, Florida hadn't beat Alabama since Tebow.
Did he beat them the first time and then lose the second time? In the SEC championship game?
Or his cry game?
Yeah. I just couldn't remember which one came first.
Well, he lost his last time against Alabama.
Okay, so he won the first game and lost the second one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, guys. I'm tired of rebuilding. When's basketball start?
7 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say. A little over a month there, Philly. Philly,
how come we haven't heard anything?
Like,
what do you want to hear?
Yeah.
I want to hear somebody. Has anybody been able to go over there and watch practice and get some kind of idea what they look like?
Not that I know of.
I mean, every year we hear about how good some of the guys are and that don't get to play. So I'm kind of fine not hearing about it at all. I know you're a big basketball guy, Philly, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm tired of hearing that Zach Kent's making threes, you know?
Like, well,
I'll have Rod check in with
Johnson's
Gary and Juanita.
Johnson's the best player ever.
Jalen Johnson going to be the –
We'll get with Rod and see what Gary and Juanita have to say.
In fairness, Rod did say Plazic doesn't look very good.
That's true.
No offense to Plazic.
Yeah, and Kalma's supposed to be good, too, and he hadn't done anything yet. So.
He's had flashes, and then he's had just some of the most bonehead plays I've seen.
What happened to your boy Billy Williford? What's ever happened to him?
Houston kicked him off the show.
People believe that somehow.
Why wouldn't they believe the truth?
Why would I kick him off the show?
It would make more sense if he kicked you off the show.
No, it's a power trip for Houston, getting to kick Billy off.
Since when do I have self-esteem. When do I have that kind of power anyway?
Well, Houston get enough air time.
I've
never heard Billy laugh.
I've never complained about anything. I welcome Billy back at any moment, but he doesn't want to come on the show anymore. Mm-hmm. It's too early for him.
Guys, you know, we went back to that Shiano stuff and look at Shiano now. He's probably better than what we got on our campus right now.
They can have him up there in Rutgers. That's fine.
Well, it is what it is, though.
I mean, it is pretty sad that that our boy John Curry was better than Philip Fulmer.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want Shiano, but I wish we would not have fired Curry.
Yeah, in some ways, Curry might have got us a decent coach. One thing about it, though, Fulmer sure has put us in a pickle, and he's still over there on the campus. Why are they doing that? Shouldn't they allow him to stay over in Blount County?
Yeah, I was surprised. Was he on the sideline for a game, or was he in the booth? I was surprised he was over there.
I told you he was going to be there, and you're like, no, he won't be there. I'm like,
I know.
Well.
I know.
Well,
I know.
I know.
Rutgers
guys, I'm tired. See you.
Me too, Philly. Me too. Tired of...
Tired of being
That's
tired.
Okay. We got a new crew over there. They're cleaning everything up as we speak. Mm. It's been a bunch of positive things. Just got to get some football wins to go along with it.
You know what's this Saturday for Greg Schiano, don't you? Trip to the big house.
Really?
Rutgers at Michigan.
You got a line on that one?
I do not. I'll find you one.
That'd be great. I'd love to hear it.
That's a... I mean, because, you know, they are undefeated. They haven't really...
Is that a big game?
They haven't really beaten anybody.
Have they played anybody?
Well, they beat Temple.
Michigan is a 20-point favorite.
All right.
So that would be Rutgers beating Michigan would be as big as us beating Florida.
Right. I would agree with that. Feels about right.
What's got a better chance of happening?
About even.
Yeah, this is one of the few times where Houston's 50-50 would actually come into play.
I give slight edge.
I mean, Florida's supposed to be better than Michigan, so that means that even despite all of our issues here at Tennessee, we're still thought of, at least by Vegas, as better than Rutgers. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they beat Temple, and I mean, they beat Syracuse, who's god awful by 10. I don't think, you know. All right, we'll come back with more. Optimism Tuesday, hour two. Poor Houston, just catching all the blame for things he didn't, you know.
I don't even know what I did.
All phone calls are brought to you on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If your loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214. That's 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. G3HelpMe.com. Proud sponsor of the G3 Help Me Hotlines, online at g3helpme.com. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. Up next on the phone lines, our number 865-546-8200 to join the program. We got Zach. What's up, Zach? You're on 3 and Out.
What do you say, Houston, Nate, Davey, and Adam?
Good morning, Zachary.
How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Feeling fantastic. It's Optimism Tuesday.
The week's off and running.
God, I love the mayor. Just brings it every call.
Mm-hmm.
Just a Hall of Famer, man, in this town. Every call brings it.
I'm just about to lose my mind with how Billy has turned everyone against me.
Well,
truth hurts.
What happened? You know, you were talking about Billy. What, did you get rid of Alex, too?
No. He graduated.
Yeah, he moved on.
He moved on.
He was an intern. Now he's...
Well, I didn't know if you were...
Both Alexes.
Everybody, you might have.
Alex Olive does another morning show in town. He got stolen away.
We're like Alabama, Zach. We just our talent.
I know.
We just can't keep everybody, man.
Billy has an open invitation anytime, but every time he comes in, he just lies to everybody that I kicked him out, or I don't know. It's ridiculous. I feel like I'm a nice guy. I feel like I'm nice to everybody.
He's just making too much money on all
except
those.
Dave, but that's different.
Billy's making too much money with all those gambling picks. He just
doesn't have time
right
for us anymore. But it's my fault.
If we get throttled, can we get Drunk Dave to come back on the VR?
Sure. I'm for it.
I mean, I'll be there Saturday night.
But will you be?
Will Drunk Dave be here?
I really don't want to spend the night here.
You come stay with me. I got a spare bed.
Uber to Houston's place.
I'll come pick you up, brother. I'll come pick you up. Nice bed, room to yourself.
TBD.
All right.
You'll have to tune in to find out, Zach. Voluntary action. Me
oh, I'll be
the
there. Oh, I'm there every show I've listened to VR. I love Bears Meltdown. I kind of felt, and I don't know if you guys, did you guys listen to VR? Did you hear that?
I did not after Tech, no.
Yeah, it was a nice meltdown.
Mm.
Kind of like a culmination of losing for 15 years. Kind of just build up on the bear. And
we won 56
to
nothing. The curse of the SCS game. For some reason, you feel worse when you win 56 to nothing than when you lose.
There's nothing you can do. I mean,
yeah,
every mistake is which is fine. Like you said yesterday, you want to hold them to a higher standard against a team like that.
Right.
But yeah, you win 56 to nothing. It's all, God, we just don't have a chance.
I can't block anybody.
The challenge, what I saw, you know, and I think everybody's kind of alluded to it when they watch the game, against Tennessee Tech when you were 0-for-5 on third down conversions. And, you know, there's obviously a lack of depth. You know, we said it all, you know, off season, but I think it made it more apparent when Cooper Mays went down. And you just see that we just don't have the horses. And I will say on the Optimism Tuesday, I think we're getting everything we can out of the defense. I think they're milking every drop out of that as far as, you know, playing hard and and making plays. I'm impressed, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. I've been very pleasantly surprised with this defense. I realize they're not world beaters, but they do play hard, and I'm with you, Zach. I think for, you know, I realize we gave up a bunch of points against Pitt. I feel like those guys were trying. They got put in some really, really tough spots by the offense with the turnovers and some field position stuff. If you just watch them play, they fly around with great effort. They, you know, they support each other. And I think you're starting to see a couple of guys who, we talked about it going into the game last week, where the hell is Aubrey Solomon? He got a lot of play against Tennessee Tech, and it seems like Josh Heupel said it yesterday. That's a guy whose buy-in has increased recently. That's it basically didn't sound like Aubrey Solomon was all that interested in giving effort and trying hard and staying in shape, and now he's realizing if I don't do that, I'm going to sit on the sidelines in my, you know, NFL opportunities. I mean, with a body like that, you know, he's got a shot to play. And now they've motivated him enough to, you know, he wants it a little bit, and they're hopefully that's a guy who can add depth on the defensive line. I think Rodney Garner and all those guys, I think they're pushing the right buttons. Now, we're not going to be an elite defense, but they play hard, and I've been impressed with the scheme that Tim Banks has called up as well. Now, some games and some individual one-on-one matchups, you know, the other guy's just going to be better, but so far, so good for the defense, because that was the one everybody had questions on long term. Like, is Tim Banks a guy who can come in here and be, you know, can we have a top half of the SEC type defense? If this, you know, if this entire staff can recruit, I think they're going to be okay scheme wise. They just got to, you know, make sure they continue to get the players.
And Willie Martinez looks 10 times more smarter and sophisticated than the Gump at coach and than our head coach that was supposed to be a defensive guru. I know a lot of people get on to Willie Martinez, but I think he's done a nice job too. And, you know, Rodney Garner, I'd rather have him than anybody over there on the defensive line anyway. So let's get to Florida week. You know, I think it is what it is. I think quarterback situation, you guys are probably sick and tired of talking about it, but I'll give it my synopsis on the first three games. Milton's not accurate. He throws over everybody's head by 10 yards. Hooker's a turnover machine waiting to happen. Yeah, he looked good against Tennessee Tech, but can't hold the ball out there like a loaf of bread. And if I'm not mistaken, at Virginia Tech, he had these problems too. And if you turn the ball over, what's the one thing we said? If you're going to be in the game against Florida, you got to win the turnover battle. We can't be coughing up two balls or, you know, throwing the interceptions either. And Harrison Bailey's not ready, I don't think. So
yeah, I don't either.
You know, so we don't have our quarterback on campus is the problem. And the good news is, I said this on the drive, but the transfer portal does change the game, in my opinion. You know, before you'd have to start battling out these recruits with Alabama, Clemson, you know, spending some time with these high school kids. But you can get these one-year transfers that want to play today in your program if you can identify them. So there's a game changer right there for me. If you've got any hope for the future, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it the old way.
Thanks for the call, Zach. I mean, it's hard to do that, but it's a way you can.
For the first 2 years, transfer portal is going to be critical.
But yeah, it's a way
for Heupel.
It's the old JUCO, right? I mean, it's like JUCO on steroids. It's like now there's not just guys coming out of JUCO, but there's guys coming out of other programs that you can
with film you can watch critical. And it matters.
Yep, exactly. We'll come back with more. Stick with us if you want to weigh in. 865-546-8200 to jump on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. go right back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, 865-546-8200. We got DR Vol up next. What's up, buddy? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, guys. Y'all are unable to see me, but I'll kind of describe what I'm wearing right now. I've got an oversized bow tie. I've got a flower on my chest that squirts out water. I've got a big red nose and a big wig. I'm a clown because I put money on this Florida-Tennessee game.
This year?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Clown.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I hate money.
Clearly.
Well, I didn't do the spread. I didn't do the spread. I just did the over this year. I got it at 60.5 because I figured they'd beat us like 52-10 or something.
Yeah, money line was like
yeah, Vegas is like, saying, what, about 42-20, give or take?
I think it was around 1,200. I think sense. I might just empty the entire bankroll on Florida money line.
Mm.
That's what I should have done with money line. It's just I built a parlay that I feel good about besides the Tennessee-Florida game. I'm sure to come down to that, and, like, it'll be a last-second field goal that we'll miss. And kind of like last year. You know, the Florida-Tennessee game was actually fun last year. I feel like me and Davey bonded. I called 8,000 times the station and panicking and, you know, worried about feeding my children for the next 3 months.
Jeremy Pruitt, the gift that keeps on giving. It was Vienna sausages and Ritz crackers in the DR household for a while, but they battled through. They persevered.
Yeah, I went from thinking we're going to upgrade from flank steak to filet to getting dropped down to bologna, Houston.
Mm. Oh, you fry up some bologna. Yeah. Kids love it.
I like fried bologna. Mm-hmm. When I went in, I was trying to do the money line on DraftKings, which I'm newer to it. I just added it before the season started. But there was no offer for the money line yet. I guess they were adjusting it.
Mm.
Right now, I just checked on DKDR, and if you put down $100, you can win $8 on Florida Moneyline.
Mm.
Well, I had a parlay last night for the Packers and the St. Louis Cardinals that I won, so I may just empty it out on the
there you go.
Florida Moneyline.
Yeah, spend the profit.
Yeah, to try to help the herd. Guys, I know it's Optimism Tuesday, but Florida for me is just a different beast. I have never seen us beat Florida. Even the 16 game, man, I'll never forget this. I was at a buddy of mine's house, and I really thought we were going to win that year. And, of course, we're getting curb stomped, so I just start drinking heavily and black out and wake up, and we won. So I didn't even get to watch that.
Well, you know what you got to do this weekend, then.
Well,
take one of the team.
Well, which is that, Houston? Drink heavily at halftime or just don't drink?
At halftime, pour it on, brother.
Maybe before the game. Just missed the whole thing.
Yeah, we might play a full game if you're just blacked out for the entirety.
Yeah, that might be what it takes.
Give your all, brother.
Yeah. Got to. Florida just I always use this reference, Game of Thrones, man. I'm Theon Greyjoy, and they are Ramsay Bolton. I'll believe it when I see it, kind of like Alabama. I'm not trying to be negative on Optimism Tuesday. It's just, man, I am a whipped dog with them.
All right. Well,
hey, at least Theon eventually found himself and had some joy there at the end and kind of found his purpose in life.
You know, and the way I look at that is if the over hits, that'll be it for me.
There you go.
I thought it was that we were going to be a baseball school now.
We got that. We got basketball, baseball. Does the line seem high to you, 20?
Yeah, I was debating betting Florida pretty heavily when it was 15.5 before the week.
And 20.5 now on FanDuel.
And then as soon as they hung with Alabama, I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm touching. Because, I mean, didn't somebody say or like Florida's only like 1-5 against the spread when it's bigger than a certain number or something? What'd you have? Was that the stat?
Was it 20?
Davey?
They've only, no, it was me. They're 1-5 covering a 20-plus point spread against Tennessee in the last whatever it is. Million years or something.
I want someone who actually believes we're going to win to call in and talk us into it. You know, that'd be a true Optimism Tuesday take.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, I know it's Optimism Tuesday. Anybody in this room really believe that we're going to come out victorious on Saturday night?
It's Tuesday. I'm not answering that question.
That's a no from Houston.
It's not impossible.
No, but I don't.
We're not that far removed talent-wise from Florida. Like, we're not. It's not like they're some juggernaut, and it's tough that it's a road game. Obviously, they look pretty good against Alabama. I think they have a pretty good coach, but it's just going to be one of those games where I'm not saying Florida has to just implode and you've got to play a perfect game, but you've got to do a lot of the things you have not been able to do to this point in the season. You've got to be able to hit those shots down the field. You got to force turnovers against a team named not Tennessee Tech. Florida probably does have to make a couple mistakes. I don't think it's impossible.
Here's what it'll take to win. You have to win the turnover battle. Margin of turnover, like, have to come out on top there.
Like, significantly, probably.
I did the stats a couple years ago, and I couldn't tell you the last time we actually won that. There's been times it was tied, but I kept going. I think I had to go back to the 90s for the last time, like, we won the turnover battle against Florida. Then you have to, I would say you have to have less than 50 yards in penalties. You have to have over 400 yards passing the ball, because I really don't think we can run. Like, literally, I mean, I'm saying, like, that's what it's going to take. You're going to have like, Joe Milton or Hilton or Hendon Hooker go for over 400 yards passing, and even then, I think it'd still be close. Came down to mistakes, and then just absolutely crushing it through the air.
I have trouble relating to the people that even think, like, when you're an underdog going into the game, they think they're gonna that their team's gonna. I mean, you can eliminate Tennessee, Florida. You can take it this to your NFL team or whatever. Even when I was coaching in high school, if we went into the game as the underdog, while I thought we could win, I never
expected it.
I never expected to win, never. And when we went in as a favorite, I never expected to lose. And when you're coaching, you just, you know, you don't even think about any of that. Once you only think about that kind of like way early in the week or in random kind of down times, you know. I mean, some of our biggest win, I went into the game thinking very small chance we would win. But then you just focus on what you have to do next, like what the next play, the next minute, the next, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, but there are people that.
The stat is Florida has never covered a spread of 14 or more. Against Tennessee.
Never.
0-5.
Okay. I mean, that's a trend. I mean, it goes to that kind of rivalry thing that, like, hey, even when these teams seem like they should be way apart, Tennessee's able to somehow backdoor.
But
that,
there's only been five years where it's been more than 14.
The spread, they've beat you by more than that, though.
Yeah.
Like, they've
right.
You know, it's been a 10-point line, and they've beat you by 30.
Yeah,
But I mean that kind of goes to the point. Like, we just always crap the bed whenever we play them,
right?
Yeah,
it's like everything goes wrong.
Yeah, you
there's a lot of years where it's been less than 14 the spread, and you know,
yeah, you can't have that meltdown game. Zach brought it up. Who starts at quarterback? I think if Milton's healthy, you start him short leash, right? I mean. If he's hitting the intermediate stuff and misses a couple shots at a deep ball, I probably leave him out there because I don't think you're going to get much more, you know, deep. You know, Hooker, when he goes in, he's not just chucking it deep. But if Milton can go in and hit the intermediate stuff, I think you roll with him. Maybe you do mix it up in this one. Maybe you go do what Florida's doing. Go two quarterbacks. Bring in Hooker to run the offense a little bit and maybe run a little bit more to try to get some, you know, yardage on the ground against these guys, especially if Milton's still hobbled a little bit and can't move around as well. I think a little change of pace with Hooker might not be the worst idea. Obviously, he's no Anthony Richardson, but you can kind of give Florida a little bit of a taste of their own medicine. I feel better about Hooker operating more of the playbook when he comes in as the, you know, 1A or 1B quarterback.
Let me see them both on the field at the same time.
You can laugh at that, Davey. I am excited that we might, since we have an offensive coach now, that we might see some different scheme. Like, he might pull some stuff out, like, to try and steal yardage here or there.
I'm all for gadget plays. I just don't see how their skill sets line up to where you'd want to have them both on the field at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Hooker's, I mean, he's a good athlete.
I think it's more the fact that,
little receiver action.
If they're both on the field at the same time, one might just be a decoy, but I think having them out there is going to be enough to where, like, Florida's going to have to focus on it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll at least get them thinking like, oh, wait, why is he out there? What's going on here? I think it has to be Milton at quarterback and then Hooker, you know, in the slot or something like that.
Well, that leads me into a good question I want to ask about how you approach this game if you're Josh Heupel. We'll come back with that. Final segment, hour two, still talking Tennessee, Florida, of course, on this Optimism Tuesday edition of the program. Now, heaven save me, but I'm down to one life. Final segment, hour number two. The NFL's back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night's a great opportunity to give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10 in site credit. You can get in early on the Thursday action and make it happen with the same game parlay. You can go over-unders. You can go individual player props. All kinds of good stuff. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook, and you will as well. So hit them up and use our promo code 3OUT. If you haven't signed up yet, make sure 3OUT. That lets them know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
You asked the question, how does Heupel approach the game?
Sometimes, you know, coaches want to kind of do what they do, and they feel like that's their best way to try and win a game, win a contest. Other times, coaches will go to a very unique, we'll call it a very unique game plan,
mm-hmm.
to try and, especially when you know you're the underdog, and steal a win. And usually coaches are more inclined to be one way or the other. There's not many coaches who kind of do both regularly. Usually every coach kind of has their limit or their situation where they're like, okay, we're way outmanned here. This is some crazy stuff we're going to try to win the game. And then there's a lot of, especially in football, there's a lot of coaches that are just like, nope, we do what we do, and it's not good enough, it's not good enough. So I'm interested to see how Heupel and his staff, you know, approaches this this game. I mean, we saw Tennessee Tech try and run the pit trick play that worked, like, what, three times? At least twice. It didn't work for them because, you know, they can't catch it and throw it. And I mean, they got the guy wide open one time, still missed him. Like, I wonder, is Heupel the kind of guy that just sticks with his system, or is he the type of guy that sees Alabama, like, have success on a couple of plays last week and just installs it for this week?
It's a good question.
Because it really is a delicate balance, especially in college. Like, Bill Belichick on defense is probably the greatest ever.
Especially against rookie quarterbacks, as proven again this weekend.
Going from one week to the next and like changing the whole defense, and his guys still execute it. If you try to do that in college, you know, you're probably
getting in trouble quick.
Yeah, you're probably not running any of that stuff well. So you're getting in trouble. But there are some coaches that can keep it simple enough and pull out something new, and it worked really well. I mean, Steve Spurrier did that on offense for years. He wouldn't try and run a whole new thing. He would just pull out like two concepts for certain big games that the other team had not seen them run all year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they were just like run concepts. They weren't even that complicated. Or he would have like one concept that kind of countered what they typically do, and he wouldn't really run it much as they blew some of the cupcake teams out. And then against Tennessee, boom, there it is. You know, it's a you know, bring the quarterback one direction and throw it back against the grain, or just little things. So I'm going to really try and watch closely for Heupel's offensive approach, because I think that'll tell us more about him than we've probably been able to even learn up to this point.
Mm-hmm. You got a prediction?
I don't know. I mean, he definitely doesn't seem like a play it safe type of guy with all the downfield shots they take. I mean, he definitely feels like a guy where he would look out at his quarterback and be like, if you get man coverage out there, you throw it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where the ball should go. That's our best chance. Like, he's not a guy that's like, well, let's just smash it in there for 3 yards and then try again on the next play to maybe Like, if the defense shows you that the ball should go down the field, I feel like he wants to go down the field. But I don't know if he's going to have any specific, like, wrinkles for the game or new, you know, like a new formation.
I think he'll have a couple, just a couple of things maybe he's seen on film that he thinks will work. But as far as stylistically, I think it's going to be, look, this is what we do. We go fast. We take shots. The question I have is, does he fall into a trap that's, let's say hypothetically things go well early, like they did against Pitt. Let's say you get up 10, 13, 14, nothing. Does he adjust and fall into the, oh, well, we got a little conservative there. We were okay with punting a couple times, or does he kind of keep the foot on the gas? And if he does so, does it continue to work, or do you start making mistakes? And at that point, can he adjust within the adjustment? That's going to, like, I feel like feel for the game against Florida is very, very important. Butch Jones, no feel for the game. I mean, the guy's an idiot. He kicked an extra point when he should have gone for two. Was up and down the field on those guys until the fourth quarter. Then he gets conservative and we punt on the ball. Can Heupel, you know, can you do enough to kind of keep yourself in the game? And then obviously defensively, I think Tennessee's defense is going to be good. Florida's going to move the ball. They're going to score some points. If you can start forcing some field goals, though, not allow them just touchdown after touchdown, I think Tennessee has a chance to be in this game in the second half. And then second half adjustments will come into play. They've been a pretty good third quarter team. They've been a pretty good first quarter team. Can we just avoid the stupid lulls that we've seen, especially in the second quarter and then sometimes late in the third and into the fourth? And, I mean, Florida's going to have a lot to do with that. Quarterback play is going to have a lot to do with that. If you can run the football at all, it would obviously help you. But what's the best-case scenario for this team? To make it a little sloppy and try to pull one out late? Do you want to just jump all over them? Because I'm a little worried if you jump on them, there's a little bit of a sigh of relief defensively, and then all of a sudden, and, you know, two or three drives, Florida's hung three touchdowns, and you're thinking, "Oh crap!"
No, I think it actually is to hit a couple big plays early because you want to get Florida, you want them out of their offense. To press.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
They didn't last week though. I mean, they were down 21-3.
I know,
and they came all the way back. I mean, they didn't run out of time. I mean, they got there. They just missed an extra point and didn't run a very good 2-point conversion.
Yeah, the 2-point conversion call was really bad. I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, you jump on them and never look back. I've seen that play out before too, and it didn't work out. I mean, I'm trying to think. You know, you go back to 0-1, you jumped on them. Florida comes back, storms ahead. Then you kind of rolled punch for punch with them until the end. 0-3, it was a 3-0 game until you hit the Hail Mary, and then in the second half, you just ran the ball down their throat and played good defense and won the game. 0-4 was a back-and-forth shootout-type game. You needed a last-second field goal from, 51 yards from Will Hoyt to win it. 16, you got down big early, and then Butch Jones finally said, all right, just do what you do, offense, and you came storming back. Defense played better. Yes?
Some breaking news.
Is it anything close to on topic?
Nope. But it hits me hard.
What?
After 15 seasons in the NBA, J.J. Redick has announced that he is retiring this morning.
Thank you, Davey. Really, thank you.
I don't think our offense is going to be good enough to sustain a drive where you're just like first down, first down, first down, first down. So you've got
I don't
to
know. It depends on
moments.
It depends on if we can find something that kind of works.
You got to pick your moments and hit a chunk play, and that could then set you up to do that to. Tick off a few more first downs and hopefully punch one in the end zone. Or maybe you get a few first downs and then you're like, okay, we're at our own 40, first and 10, let's go play action. And maybe, you hit a 60-yard touchdown or something. But that's
– I do feel good about special teams going into this game.
Across the board.
The Woj bomb I didn't want.
But if you can just get a few first downs each drive at least and at least punt them
yeah.
deep, because they are more kind of a run first team at their best. I think that really helps slow the game down.
Definitely need to make them earn it. Even though we want to play fast. No, we need to make them earn it on offense. That's a no-brainer.
You're listening to 3 and Out,